Hey listeners, quick question. Are you tired of overpaying for your mobile plan? I've got the answer. Ting Mobile. Ting Mobile is all about flexibility and savings. You only pay for what you use, no crazy fees or overages. It's perfect for those who want control over their phone bill without sacrificing quality. Say goodbye to bloated phone bills. Go to stigmasandopenwounds.com/ting. Ting Mobile. Mobile that makes sense.
Hey everyone, welcome back to A New Stigma Zone Open Wounds. I'm Tracy.
And I'm Eric.
All right. So as promised from last week, we're coming back with Neanderthal Gene Part 2. I hope you guys are excited because I'm excited.
I am too. Well, I'm excited because I just got to listen to it and it did turn out pretty well. I guess we should forewarn everybody. I think that Katie and Michelle got comfortable with this whole podcast thing.
We went on a little tangent.
So there's a lot more tangents in this episode than there were in the last one.
Yeah. Well, so. I think I cut out at least one of them.
So this is the second part of the episode. What are we looking at in this one, Tracy?
So this one, we're going to be looking at a little bit more of the science, a little bit more of what happens because the Neanderthal and the Homo sapien did the, I believe as Eric puts
I use the term hanky-panky. Yes.
But you know what? Everybody in all of the articles we read said hanky-panky.
Yeah.
All the articles that I read as well. And I love that. I love that term. So, you know, and we're going to talk about what does it mean if you have this magical gene? I call it magical gene because I think it is a really awesome gene. And what does it mean if you have this gene? Because it's kind of like we kind of put it as the jazz hands of a gene, because here you have a lot of the Homo sapiens who are a little bit just going about their day, as we put it, maybe 9 to 5, 7 to 3, and we were debating. And then you got the guys who come and they put their jazz hands on it and they're like, hey, this is what it can be. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit interesting. So we kind of go into a little bit more of what that means for you, what it could mean. And of course, it's not all good. It's not all bright and happy. There's a few more things like addiction that you may or may not get with this. Or let's see, we got a little bit of hay fever that you could get. Yay, thanks for that one too.
Yeah, that one sucks.
That one's fun. That one is.
Well, addiction isn't any funner though.
No, that
probably
one
less
is
fun actually.
Yeah, that one's not so great. But there's some really positive things and a few negative things that you may get if you do have this gene with you. But yeah, there's some really cool things that you can get if you do have this gene. So Michelle and Katie are going to go into some details about that in this episode. And I think there's some really great details that come along with it. And yeah, there's some really cool things that we're going to learn about in this episode.
I would agree, but I think it's better if we just let them hear the episode and then we can come back and discuss
I agree.
After that. So why don't we turn it over to the full episode right now?
Sounds good.
Hey guys, we're back again with Michelle and Katie for another episode about Neanderthals and the Neanderthal gene.
So in this one, we're going to jump into a little bit deeper into, okay, so we talked about Neanderthals, we talked about who they were, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Now we're going to talk about a little bit of the science of what it means when this is, which we mentioned a little bit on the last episode, but what it means when this is in our body, you know, is it bad? Is it good? Is it, you know, so which one do you want to kind of kick this off?
So I'll start by talking about DNA and we'll kind of work our way up. Now, I need to let the readers know I am not a geneticist.
And you need to let your...
I was going to say, they're not
readers. They're listeners.
Not readers. They're listeners, but
that's
yes.
Okay. We make mistakes like that.
I am listeners now. So I am going off of high school biology and Wikipedia.
Yes.
Hopefully.
So this should be rather accurate, but we'll finite finite details might not be right.
Michelle's so. Kind of base knowledge of what I learned yesterday about DNA.
And so. if Michelle's high school biology teacher wants to contact us and inform us everything she's wrong about, we highly, highly support it.
Okay, so if we start with DNA. So DNA is the building block of our genes, according to Wikipedia.
It's like deoxyribonucleic acid?
Yes.
Wow, good job.
So DNA consists of... it's four different chemical compounds. I'm not even going to say the names because it doesn't matter. So DNA is what creates a gene. Now, what is a gene? A gene is basically a code that tells our cells what to do or how to respond or how to react. Okay, so gene is made of DNA. Mm-hmm. So genes are what make chromosomes. So we have 23 pairs of chromosomes, 46 total, that basically identify who we are. Mm-hmm. So each chromosome has a lot of different genes on it. Mm-hmm. So when we're getting into Neanderthal DNA, Neanderthal DNA was first discovered or analyzed, I guess, in 1997.
Wow, so this is really new, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
So they took a sample from the first Neanderthal fossil, and this is the one we were talking about in the last episode, the one that was found in the Neander Valley in Germany. I think if I'm right, it's 13 kilometers east of Dusseldorf.
Yes.
If anybody wants to go.
Now I feel like we need to go.
We did miss our Germany trip.
That would be a Neanderthal side quest. Yeah.
Yes.
So what they did with this DNA is they analyzed it and they compared it to human DNA and I believe chimpanzee. Let me look. Neanderthal. Yep, with chimpanzee DNA. And they looked to see how is it unique from human and chimpanzee. And they found several different genes that were different and unique.
Okay.
That's how they have identified Neanderthal DNA. That's the concept that we're talking about today, is different types of genes that come specifically from Neanderthal DNA. So if you do your 23andMe, which we talked about last episode also,
right?
It's really neat because it can help you to identify how much Neanderthal DNA you have when compared to other 23andMe users. Mm. But also it can help you to identify different traits that you might have based on your Neanderthal DNA.
Interesting.
Katie, I don't think it gives you the genes, though. But
I don't know if it gives you the specific genes, but it does list some traits you may get.
Mm-hmm. I think if you... I haven't done this yet, but I think if you upload your data to a different website, it will then give you the genes.
You can upload your data. You can get your raw data off of any of those that you do your DNA on.
I have to do that, yeah.
Fun.
You can test your DNA on all the sites. You can do a Katie.
You can do lots of different. So one of the genes that I want to talk about is, like, I don't know, to us it's kind of like the famous Neanderthal gene. I don't know. I think it's the interesting one. So what we're talking...
Famous to us.
Famous to us. You know, I go to work and I talk about this and I'm like, oh, you don't know about the BRD47R gene? Like, how do you not know about it? It's famous to me.
It's your favorite.
Me and my group of friends are talking about it all the time. So what we're talking about today is the DRD4 gene.
Mm-hmm.
So this gene, everybody has this gene. It's called dopamine regulation. That's what the DRD4 gene. So I'm just going to read... This is not my words, but I'm going to read this. I found it online. The D4 receptor is responsible for neuronal signaling in the mesolimbic system of the brain, an area of the brain that regulates emotion and complex behavior.
Okay.
So what the DRD4 gene does is it basically identifies how your body or brain is going to regulate dopamine. So okay. Dopamine is a happy chemical.
Right.
Dopamine is a chemical that motivates us to do things. So dopamine also is involved in a lot of other processes. But with the DRD4 gene, if you, with normal Homo sapien DNA, it functions effectively, right? Okay. When two neurons connect, there's an appropriate amount of dopamine exchanged between those two neurons.
Okay.
Right? Like a good amount. But with what's called the 7R allele, when the two neurons connect, there's not an appropriate amount of DNA or dopamine exchanged. So the DRD47R variation is a specific variation that comes from Neanderthal DNA.
Okay.
So it's the 7R part of this is called an allele. So an allele attached to a gene is kind of like a variation of the gene. Okay. The gene is functioning a little bit differently. So Neanderthal DNA affects this gene in that way. So what that means is that people who have the DRD47R gene, their dopamine isn't regulated. Their dopamine's kind of all over the place. They have directly connected this gene with ADHD, bipolar, schizophrenia, and autism spectrum, which, if anybody follows mental health, those are considered the neurodivergent diagnoses. Now, I do want to make a blanket statement. That is not a mental health phrase.
Right.
That's kind of like more of a
colloquial term.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like it, so I use it.
Yes.
So do we.
It's a term of the people.
Yes, it is.
We use it very frequently on here.
You know, I feel like it's one of those things that kind of started like a colloquial thing, but it's going to eventually come into like more of a...
Right, like, and I think that's like what most of these things start. They start as hypotheticals, I guess, and then eventually they get proved out to the point where they're real.
I think it's pretty wide. It's already pretty widely used.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of getting the medical industry to accept it as
getting those old stodgy DSM guys.
Yeah. Right.
I like it because I feel like it's a good way of phrasing like, hey, your brain just functions a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Yep. You think a little bit differently.
It's not bad. It's just different than some people.
Yes.
No. So and there were probably reasons for that were beneficial.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So kind of like we were talking in the last episode, when we think about the Neanderthal people, they were very interesting.
Yes.
And they were doing lots of very interesting things.
Right.
So this is probably part of that.
Right.
So the having not stable dopamine, what happens is that causes, if your dopamine is either really low or kind of all over the place, that causes people to seek out experiences that help to give you dopamine.
Interesting. So now this would directly tie to, so obviously you're not regulating your dopamine as well. That's going to cause a lot of these problems because, well, I'll just use the obvious one, like depression. Your dopamine levels are low. It's going to make you depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side, it also makes you more creative because now you have to be more creative to get your dopamine levels up,
mm-hmm.
which is where we get the creative, artistic side of these from.
Yes. Or like the current running theory about ADHD is that people are deficient in dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
Their dopamine kind of runs normally pretty low. So they have to do things throughout the day to spike their dopamine.
Yep.
So that might be impulsively speaking, thinking about something else or doing something else when the teacher's doing something really boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
doing a little online shopping.
Yeah, online shopping. Yep. Putting stuff in your Amazon cart and then looking at it like and being like, I don't know if I need that yet.
Save for later.
Yeah, so
you know, do that here.
If we go to Neanderthal times, you know, this is where you have a group of people who their dopamine isn't quite stable and they're going through life and they're like, I think I'm going to go experiment with this. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go do this. This is where we see a lot of the like creativity with the Neanderthal people.
Yes.
Artistic, creating recipes, art, music, all of that. likely comes from this specific gene, mm-hmm. or a combination of all of those specific genes. Where if you look at the Homo sapien population who did not have this gene, they weren't as creative or inventive mm-hmm. because they lacked this gene mm-hmm. at that mm-hmm. period of time.
Yeah, they were okay with just sort of going through the day. They didn't need to give themselves a rush or mm-hmm. anything like that. It was just whatever.
Yeah.
I'm okay with 9 to 5 or, you know, not that they were counting 9 to 5 at that point, but they were okay with that semblance of 9 right. to 5.
Right. I guess I do the old 8 to 4. I would hate 9 to 5.
I do like 7:30 to 3:30. Sometimes a little later.
I would like 7:30 to 3:30 even
yeah.
better.
I enjoyed that, yeah.
Like, if you're going to get up in the morning, why wait until 9?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the genes that we really like talking about is the DRD47R variation. Mm-hmm. And when we look back on last week, or in the last episode, we kind of talked about how Neanderthals forwarded human progress and human civilization. That's why.
Yeah.
Mm. This gene, this genetic component of the brain, or component, is helping, you know, like this species of people to think outside of the box and explore yeah. and be inventive and creative.
Yeah, and I understand that. That is the gene for sure. Because mm-hmm. I can understand that because I feel that gene that gene working in me.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. I might have a few of those things.
And we talked about this, I think. Yeah, the last time too is a lot of the innovators. I mean, you can see the ADHD or the bipolar or the autism spectrum. You can see that at work. And I mean, mm-hmm. that's a lot of that out of the box thinking. You can see that gene.
Yeah, yeah. Some of our most intelligent people, like the greatest minds of our time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
That's crazy.
It's really interesting when you get into it, but it's once you get into like the DNA and chromosomes, it's a little.
Yeah.
But Michelle, you did an outstanding job of explaining it because. Yeah. Because as you were going along, I could see how this played into getting these neurodivergent tendencies. But then I'm like, okay, how does this play into the artistic side of it? And you did a great job of explaining that. Right. And it makes perfect sense that obviously if you're constantly searching for higher dopamine, you're going to get more creative about where you get your dopamine from. Mm-hmm. You right. know, whereas if like, you're...
Well, that did it for 2 minutes, but now I'm done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then 2 more minutes. And yeah, it makes absolute sense.
And in some way, I could see that... So you're digging for dopamine, and you create this thing, but it's not giving you... Or it stops working for the dopamine hit you're mm-hmm. looking for, so you just kind of discard it.
Yeah.
But it could be that you created something brilliant and like somebody that right. doesn't need the dopamine would look at that and be like, no, man, I want to use that thing because it'll just make my life that much easier, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and this is also why modern day, when we look at people who have ADHD or bipolar, mm-hmm. right, when like they're taking their medication, when their dopamine starts to get more stable, they're like, this feels boring.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I'm just going to go off of it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, don't go off of it. That's a bad thing.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, I can absolutely see that. Why? Because it's more even for them. And, you know, it's a good thing to be even. It's not so bad. But yeah, it gets boring.
You don't get those spikes anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's fun to be impulsive. Spikes it's fun to have weird ideas. It's fun to do.
Right. You know, every so often, it's kind of fun for me to go hypomanic because I get those exciting ideas and I get that burst of energy where I kind of want to clean. Who wants to clean? But if I get that and I want to clean, it's great.
And I think another really interesting thing about that is that just think about it is when you get that hypermanic thing or that creative idea, there are people that's a real struggle for. And that's like that's like a weird thing to think of to me is that, oh, there's some people that just don't have those moments.
Right.
Or maybe they probably have them, just not as common as like somebody that has this gene running through them does.
Right.
So.
Well, and I think about like, so for the listeners, myself, Katie, and Eric went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy, you were nearby.
Yeah.
With him. 10, 15 minutes away.
Yep.
But 15, 20 minutes maybe.
Yeah, pretty close.
But when we were in school, like, we were bullied for being...
You were different. You guys were kind of the Island of Misfit Toys kids.
Yeah. We were impulsive. We were weird.
We were.
And now that I think about it, like, I wish I could have been part of your group I would have been in school with you guys.
That would have been really
cool. I will say there was a lot of us, so I never really felt the bullying. Right. Like, it was a failed attempt at bullying.
Right. Right. Have a large group of people, thankfully, that kind of came to us, and these were people who felt similar.
That was the Michelle effect. You are a magnet.
I bring people in. But, like, when I think about us, like, when we were younger and how we sort of perceived, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed all of my traits, but I did feel weird.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I did feel weird. Like, I did feel like, oh, maybe other people don't understand. I felt understood by our group of friends.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now when I look back at, like, us as kids, and I'm like, man, you guys are awesome.
Right.
And I kind of have turned a corner, and I feel kind of bad for people. I don't know if bad is the right word, but I see people who, you know, I'll be interacting with them and I'll be laughing about something or get really excited about some sort of weird, obscure topic. Right. And they're just sort of blankly looking at me. And it's like, it's like, man, I'm
so sorry that you don't get it.
But also, like, that sucks that you don't have that same feeling and ability to get so excited about something so weird.
Yeah. You know, and if I see a kid who is like us, I try to encourage them, you know, be yourself. Don't be afraid to be yourself, because I promise you, especially when you get to be our age, you're going to love it to be yourself, and don't shy away from it, because it really is a great thing.
And I think that's something you realize when you get in your 40s.
Mm-hmm. I do think, and not everybody does realize it. But, yeah, I do think you get to that point where you stop caring a little bit more. But it is hard when you're younger and people start to judge you a lot more.
You start to think that Snoop Dogg is hot.
Is this a current thing that Michelle is going through right now?
Michelle's 40s thing is Snoop Dogg is hot. My 40s thing is that Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart's relationship is delightful.
It is very delightful.
And for the listeners, if you question whether or not Snoop Dogg is hot,
just wait until you're 40.
Watch the Snoop Dogg Super Bowl performance.
Yes,
from a couple years ago. I don't even remember when.
They had all the '90s rappers up there. Yes, okay, yes. I remember
that. Dr. Dre is better than Usher's.
Yeah. Dr. Dre is also hot.
Usher is also hot,
and Dr. Dre is hot, but more in a daddy way.
Yes,
but Snoop Dogg is hot.
Yes, because you know
I
what?
I will give you that.
I'm gonna. Well, we're really going off on a sidetrack here, but I will say,
if you don't think he's hot, send us an email and we'll pass it off to Michelle.
I'll send you a bunch of pictures.
She
of
can
videos.
Explain to you why you're wrong.
Yeah,
Dr. Dre at this point looks like a middle-aged man. You know, like, Snoop Dogg still can pull it off a little bit, but
you know, Dr. Dre has more of the vibes of, like, hey, let me help you put your money into a Roth IRA account. So there's a little bit of daddy there.
And Snoop Dogg's I got a grandkid, but you wouldn't know unless you saw me.
Yeah.
But I'll be your daddy for now.
Yeah. But, like, daddy in a sexy way, where, like, you know, Dr. Dre is more daddy in, like, a responsible way.
Yes. I'm going to go back to Usher. He did pull out the roller skates, and that was cool. No. So I'm sorry I said that his halftime show was bad. I take it back.
I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't watch it.
Anything with roller skates is good, so.
Yeah, it was very Starlight Express, which none of you probably know what that is. It's a musical.
Let's swing it back to Neanderthal jeans. Enough about 90s rappers and...
But there was think Snoop Dogg, isn't it?
There was an example
Where...
the DRD47R gene at work.
Firsthand.
People get together, guys.
We did that on purpose.
To show you
the inner workings of four people on the ADHD DRD47R spectrum. That's what that was. But yeah, so like that is why people who take medication to keep dopamine stable, why they find life boring. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you have to find a really good medium between not being overly medicated because you want some of that fun yet, but oh, not, absolutely. You know.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
But I also do think that it's important to mention, too, with some people, medication probably is the right route because issue is just so bad that it's almost hard.
You just need to have the right level of medication because you can't be overly medication where you don't medicated so you don't feel anything.
Right.
Like I'm on the right level where I still feel stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I can still cry if I need to, but because, you know, there's some people where they're like, I haven't cried since, you know, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But then, so I can still feel stuff. I can still feel ups and downs, but it's not up, down, up, down, up, down. So I can still feel what I need to, but it's not to the point where it's.
Yeah. And I think it's important to acknowledge that there's a trade-off. Mm-hmm. You lose a lot of good things by fixing something that's bad.
Yes.
You know, it's not just a give.
Right.
You know, like, I take this medication and everything is better. No, you're going to give up a piece of yourself for...
Yeah, right.
To correct that other piece that you might not like. So
I think it's fair to say we're probably pro-medication.
Oh, absolutely.
Of us here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, finding the right...
I take medication.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you don't want to be full Neanderthal...
No. But maybe
rate
like it a little.
Half.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe like a good 40 to 60%. Neanderthal capacity.
You want to be the one that you're comfortable with. You want to be in that range where you're comfortable.
Because we do have to live here.
Eric,
yeah. Today.
What percentage of full Neanderthal capacity would you say that you function at?
I have no idea. So
that's pretty solid between 40 and 60.
See, if we didn't have medication here, at this point, Michelle probably would have darted into traffic.
I'd probably be talking about, like, the Princess Bride or something like that. Which is a good movie.
I saw a TikTok on the Muppets and the Princess Bride.
Here we go.
Hold on. Let Michelle. Okay. So that's a lot of info about... A discussion.
A lot of live example of this in effect.
Around the BRD47R gene. Now, Katie has some info about some other specific.
Well, specific to mental health, I'm going to talk about just a little bit. So the SLC6A11 gene... We get from
did you guys all get that?
Yep. Everybody's writing that down.
166A.
SLC6A11.
Okay. Got
so that is a gene that is why you get addicted to things of smoking, alcohol, drugs, you know, other things. And I don't know, when you have things like ADHD or bipolar, a lot of times addiction is comorbid to that. So not everything that we got from the Neanderthals is great.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I feel like I'm getting picked on.
Also, the CDH6 gene, which brings us depression. So,
yay.
That's also a gene that we've inherited from the Neanderthals that, and again, you know, a lot of that is comorbid with the things that come with the ADHD and bipolar and autism spectrum. So, a lot of those things are kind of tied together, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And especially when you look at, addiction, I do believe that dopamine is a big factor in that too.
Oh yeah. That's a dopamine seeking. Definitely.
Oh yeah. Thing. Because I'm sure. I'm sure, like, let's just take cigarettes. You start smoking cigarettes because it gives you a dopamine raise. Yep, and then the nicotine takes effect and bam, you're addicted. So it's...
And then over time, I believe what happens over with addiction, over time, your body's response, you get a lower amount of dopamine or satisfaction.
So you continue to use more and more.
Just to remain at base level.
Yeah.
Like, it's no longer... giving you the satisfaction, it's just keeping you from dropping and going
lower. That's the chasing the dragon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Peace and addiction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not everything from the Neanderthals is sunshine and rainbows. And
right. you got to choose what you want. I mean, not, yeah. You can choose, but you got to say, do you want the good pieces? Then you got to take some of the possibly bad pieces. Mm-hmm.
But those are all things, if you're aware of, you can work on reining them in.
I think it's also important to point out, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that is not the sole reason for addiction.
No, that is just one of many
reasons. You could be completely 100% Neanderthal, gene-free, and still get addicted to something.
Yeah, and you can be Neanderthal, gene-free, and still have ADHD, or bipolar, or autism, or schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So those genes just give you more of a predisposition.
Yeah.
But there are other genes that can lead to that also. Mm-hmm. That is important to know.
That's good.
And we talked about this last time. I do think that the combo of the Homo sapien and the Neanderthal working together, like we've been saying, like you bring in Homo sapiens and their DNA kind of brings down the impulsivity of the Neanderthal, right? But the Neanderthal adds the jazz hands to the Homo sapiens.
That's a good way to put it. Jazz hands!
A little pizzazz. Right.
And you have to look at that, like, that seems, in the simplest way, to be the perfect combination, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to mix those two. Like, probably both of them standing alone is not a good thing, but when you mix it together, you get a lot of weird things that happen because of it, but overall, I think, in general, we're better because of it.
Yes.
You know?
I think if we took Neanderthal DNA out of our gene pool, we would not be where we're at right now.
Yeah, and it would be very interesting to see where society would be at this point in time if nobody had done the hanky panky with the Neanderthal. Sorry, I use that term because when I was reading articles yesterday. I don't know if I was reading them all from the same author, but they all just kept saying the hanky panky.
It was like none of them wanted, to say had sex. Like, oh no, we can't say that.
Yeah.
Eric, that was very Daddy Dr. Dre of you. I call you Dr. Dre for now.
I'm going to show you guys how to set up an IRA.
Yeah, an IRA account. Pinky, pinky. But yeah, I do think it would be interesting to see what would happen if these genes were removed. Because we look at, like, I don't know, Einstein, you know, some of the...
I was going to say, I think Einstein was... Yeah, I can tell you one thing. If there was a society at this point, it'd be a hell of a boring one.
Right, and not that Einstein.
I don't know that it would be. I think boring is unfair.
Stable. Not colorful. Stable.
It would be very stable. It would be, but it would just be real cookie cutter.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Stepford Wives?
Yeah, a little step. There's nothing boring about Stepford Wives and cookie cutter.
Well, I mean, it's not. There's no pizzazz there, I guess.
That doesn't mean boring at all.
They Although if we didn't have that gene, we wouldn't think it was boring either.
That's very true, too.
I guess so.
And you think about it, simple things like, if this gene doesn't exist, are there people running around ghost hunting? I don't think so. You know, like, right?
So Eric mentions that because Eric and Tracy have come into the fold of ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Eric is a non-believer. I don't know if non-believer is the right
word. I think because kind of a believer now.
I wouldn't say that I'm a very skeptic. I do not, I cannot prove that it does not exist, nor do I really believe it does exist. That's how I would describe
it. It's just neutral.
Yeah.
Neutral.
I'm waiting for something to happen that makes me a believer, you know? Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, as we're learning more about Neanderthal DNA, we're going to definitely, like I said, this started in like 1997.
So there's a long way to go before we really know. I mean, what we're going to know in 10 more years is going to be just probably astronomical compared to what we know now.
Well, and I think what we know about DNA now, too, is basically nothing. Right. We've just barely started scratching the surface. And if you do your DNA test, you'll notice, like, your results change frequently because it's... it's new science.
Yeah.
When you do your DNA test, you're participating in science, which I personally think is really cool.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
To be a part of this, because it's new and evolving. And is it a little bit scary to have your DNA out there? I don't know. I guess don't murder anybody. I'm cool with it.
Or cannibalism.
I was going to say, so I'm
from the cannibalism.
Can't eat anyone? No. Well, I guess I'll get the shakes, you say.
We shouldn't.
You can also have that fear, but just realize that eventually your DNA is going to be out there. Yeah. Everywhere. It's inevitable.
You might as well learn something from it and be part of this new and evolving science, because we're just barely scratching the surface. And I think just what we know now compared to what we knew 10 years ago is bananas. And what we're going to know 10 years from now, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, and considering how there's that one, what the heck was his name that we didn't know when we were in school, the Homo
Heidenbergensis or something like that.
Like, we didn't learn about him, so that's crazy.
Or even like the Denisovans, which I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but you didn't hear about them either until more recently, and that's another human-ish species.
All of this is just really crazy, the leaps and bounds that we're going through to learn. And I mean, I'm just loving all this that we're learning. And
just think about, so in the future, as they understand this better, just think about like you were talking about the dopamine and the levels of dopamine and how sometimes lower dopamines can make you more creative and higher dopamines might make you more like level-headed and maybe even like stable organized dopamine. Stable. Mm-hmm. What would be, so in the future, they're probably going to be able to control that. So if you want to if you want to have a level of creativity, they might just say, okay, do this and it'll drop your dopamine down to the ideal level of creativity.
Well, that's crazy.
And then, okay, now you need to kind of reel it in and be, you know, more stable. So then they raise it back up and stuff. And just the things they'll be able to do by understanding all that is going to be incredible.
It's possible. Well, and you can hack dopamine right now with like, you know, supplement medication. Medication. But I want to discuss this. Do we have time?
Yeah,
a little bit time. More. The one thing, and we've talked about this on many of our Ice Age trail walks, is now that they're able to identify this specific, the DRD47R gene, or the addiction gene.
SLC6A11.
Now that they're able to identify some of these genes, and you guys know I'm pro-choice. This is not like a...
Absolutely.
So now that they're able to identify these genes, as you know, you have somebody who's pregnant,
right?
You can genetically test while, you know, a child's in utero or whatever. And if they are identified as having the DRD47R gene or the addiction gene or any of these specific Neanderthal genes that people associate with bad things, because, you know, if you can identify that you have a gene that is associated with ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, bipolar, or schizophrenia, now we're reaching a period of time as a species where people might be able to be like, hey, do I want the kid or do I not want that kid if they have that gene?
And that's a scary thing. But then but on the flip side, too, it's like now they can identify that gene maybe immediately once... From the start of that person's life, you condition them and, you know, give them the help that they need to be able to manage that properly.
Yes, right.
So, you know, that so that, I mean, that's
good which too. Would be a better approach than eliminating.
I was going to say, I would rather that approach because, I mean, my goodness, I have that gene. Well, I guess we don't know that I have that gene, but I'm going to guess I have that gene.
Yes.
And there would be no reason to have gotten rid of me. It's just about conditioning and figuring out how to deal with me.
Yeah, I think it's big ethical questions with that.
Exactly.
Because if what happens...
Also, civilization and innovation kind of grind to a halt. You get all of that.
Right. What happens if we start breeding this gene out or whatever?
Because who's inventing the technology to breed that gene out? You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just really interesting things to think about. And this is getting a little like broad in general about humanity.
I recall seeing that in an article too. And I thought, no, please don't get rid of these people because we need these people.
Mm-hmm. Right. The thing I would say to that though is that if you look at human history, and granted there are, you know, when you say this, people are going to be like, what about Nazi Germany? But these were like, Nazi Germany is like a blip in the radar. Right. But for the and most part, as we understand things more, we accept them more. Mm-hmm. It's not where we understand and get the technology that we can exterminate it. Right. We do that. You know, like, we're not in a place where if you have depression, they're looking at options of just killing those people off.
Right. So, like,
or are you saying like, just eliminating those genes?
When they're in utero, like if a woman is pregnant.
Before they're born.
Right now, like with amniocentesis, if you find out that your baby may have Down syndrome, you mm-hmm. have a choice now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so not everywhere right now because of everything that's politically going on, but that was something that they're already doing, which is ethically already sort of
Yeah, that's like really...
questionable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had heard about that one, which is just a really hard thing because it's like, you know, you can get help with these children and
and that's such a happy healthy life right.
I understand that's hard, but it's also there's still people
the fact that they're doing that, I think that that's shameful because I think the downfall of like something like Down syndrome is not that it's so terrible for the person to have it, it's just that we don't know how to allow that person to live their life. We try to condition them to live like we do.
Yes, and that doesn't
work for them because that's not how they're wired. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at how they're wired and address, okay, how do they live their life successfully?
Yep.
Instead of trying to manipulate them to live like us.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot done. I mean, I think there's plenty of people who have Down syndrome that are now living like happy mm-hmm. and fulfilling lives.
Right.
And mm-hmm. as independent as they can. And I mean, they're getting married, they're mm-hmm. they're right. living independent lives. So mm-hmm. I think that's really a pretty questionable
ethical
area there. Yes. So are we going
to
expand on that? But that doesn't...
Right. So I
think
that is scary. Yeah,
so
you're
it's
absolutely
kind of like
right.
if you're not ready to deal with the question of any kind of issue, or not even issue, but difference in your child, you know, are you ready to raise a child?
I'm sure that there have been books or something written about this, but if there are any writers listening to this, please write a book series, sci-fi book series. But what would happen if you erase or eliminate Neanderthal genes from the human gene pool?
Man, we should look into that.
We
should look into that because
I think just the concept of it is really interesting.
That is a really interesting concept.
So please, any writers?
Yeah,
I like to write, but I don't have time.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm busy
doing 500 other things.
I know me and Eric keep talking about writing a story, but that would be a really interesting concept.
Maybe while we're hiking.
Yes.
We can work that into our storyline, man.
Yes.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Written by the Neanderthal group.
It has to include Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Obviously.
So if anybody out there does do a 23andMe, I just have mine open. And Katie, I don't know if you want to open yours. I'm not sure if our traits are similar. There's a section on the app that specifically is all about the Neanderthal DNA. Okay. And it talks about, I have 302 variants in my DNA that trace back to the Neanderthals.
Oh, amazing.
And so these are some of the traits that my DNA is associated with as far as like personality traits. Mm-hmm. One says that I have a difficult time discarding rarely used possessions.
Eric's pointing to me.
I did when I was younger, not now.
Okay. I experience more itchy mosquito bites.
That's hilarious.
See, and now, like,
that's interesting because I don't. Like, I don't have that, but I also...
And it says I'm less likely to have a fear of heights.
But she probably doesn't have the same genes as you do.
Oh,
so,
well, right.
Yeah,
right,
so
right,
I mean.
We have different DNA, right?
Yeah.
Mine says that I'm less likely to have a fear of heights.
Which is funny, because no.
That is not true.
False.
I'm afraid of heights. Yeah.
Maybe a better sprinter than a distance runner.
100% true for me.
I'm not either, for the record.
100%. This one, though, generally not feeling angry when hungry.
Oh, that's true.
100% true for me.
Don't you say that you are angry when you're hungry? It doesn't, but...
She's like, there's no doubt about that one.
But I should have that one. It is not in here, though, honestly. It says I'm less likely to prefer salty foods over sweet.
Is that true?
I have that one, too.
Yeah.
I have having a worse sense of direction.
I have a worse sense of direction also. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
We know that's true.
Yes.
Now, I enjoy it when Sean's in the car and he's like, honey, you got to turn up here. I'm like, just let her be.
She drives fast. We just turn in.
Google Maps. It'll take us an extra half hour to get
there. It's a Neanderthal side quest. Yeah, we just got to let it go.
That's literally what it is.
So I'm less likely to have hitchhiker's thumb.
This is my favorite one.
Oh, and more dandruff.
Nice. I think that might be a new one.
A little flaky.
My grandma had that one. I haven't seen that one before. This is my favorite one. I have DNA from Neanderthals that suggests that I'm less likely to sneeze when I have a full stomach.
I don't have that trait.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a superpower.
So,
wow. Now, so weird.
If you have allergies or a cold, you're just going to be eating and you're like,
Keep a full stomach.
How do they know that?
So that one, I have two variants associated with that. So that one must really be a high probability. So they just go through, like, you know, the specific genes, like, you know how they know that the DRD4 is connected with dopamine. So I think for this, they look at the specific genes and they've associated some of these genes with these traits.
That's so weird.
But the one really, like, I do not get hangry at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have that trait on here, but I do get a little hangry.
And she gets a little hangry, too.
It'll be interesting to see her.
Yeah.
So if you want your Neanderthal, you have to do the 23andMe.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're definitely going
to I am an encourager of doing, like, Ancestry also, because it has more of the genealogy, which I am also super interested in. But if you want the Neanderthal...
I definitely want that.
So. And you only want to do one test, because...
Yeah, because they're...
You're not me. 23andMe is the way to go. Yeah.
Oh, man, I should have just went on the, like, 23andMe app for all the Neanderthal info.
Yeah, it's on the app. Yeah. Are you on the website?
Yeah, they've got a lot of info on here.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. They do a really good job. It's really intriguing to go through and look at your DNA. Could Neanderthals talk? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on here. What did they look like? So, physical differences too. Neanderthals were shorter, stockier, and had bigger brains than Homo sapiens.
No way.
No, yeah. That's interesting.
And their skulls were more elongated rather than, like, they kind
of
went
So down. Now, in the size of your brain does play into intelligence, right? Like, typically if you have a bigger brain.
There's something with Neanderthals where the prefrontal cortex was less developed, which also there's sometimes with ADHD something with your prefrontal cortex where it struggles. And their occipital lobe was bigger.
Interesting.
So not necessarily with intelligence per se, with, like, they were not more intelligent than us. It's just their brains operated differently than us.
Right.
So yeah, it even compares you to your family members with your Neanderthal DNA.
It does.
Katie, because Katie and I just recently connected on 23andMe.
Yeah, I didn't know we could until this morning.
Katie, oh, cool. We'll have to connect once we get ours.
It says you're in first place for Neanderthal.
Oh, for how much Neanderthal? Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, your grandma's got me beat, huh?
Yep. It says that you're in first place. Like, they're making it like it's a competition.
So, yeah. My dad, who's done the DNA test, my mom won't, but my dad only has, like, 40, like, more than... 49%. Oh. So we know who.
You know that your mom's gonna have.
Is that why she won't do it? Because she doesn't wanna.
I think she's not ready to admit it.
Some of my favorite ADHD stories are about Katie's grandpa, maternal grandfather.
Yes, I loved my grandpa, and yes, he had. I would say he's the top of my ADHD tree. He did all of the hobbies you could possibly think of, including we found a scuba suit in his basement after he passed away. So.
Yes. And he was an organ.
Yeah, he did pipe organs and fixed cars and quilted and could basically do any kind of like carpentry or fixed thing. He did all kinds of things. Anything. Any new hobby, man, he could just pick up and do. So
that's amazing.
I call him the top of our ADHD tree.
Sounds like it.
The Neanderthal DNA was strong within
him. Yeah, if I were to guess. That would be where it comes from.
He was probably a 99%.
Unfortunately, he did ancestry DNA, so I don't know.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad, because I bet it would be high. Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way to take the DNA results and move it over.
Yeah, someday maybe. Because we do have access to his his legacy account. He was very into the genealogy, yeah. So yeah,
that would be really cool.
That is cool.
Which was another one of his interests. So,
but I do think that would be fun to do an episode where two of you do your 23andMe and we talk about it.
Through it. And that'll come. So we will. That is definitely on the pipeline of things to happen in a future episode.
Yay!
So.
Yeah. Good.
But do we have anything else we want to talk about with this, or is that kind of?
No.
Awesome. I mean, this is super, super interesting.
This is really great.
And I apologize to any listener if they're bored by this, but, go back and listen to
it. Yeah. Just embrace it, Neanderthal DNA. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's just interesting to see how clearly, I can see how that would cause that and that and stuff
like
that.
Right, well, and that's what I like. I like the connections that I can now see. I could see a little bits and pieces, but now I could really, really see the pieces. Mm. And that's why we've really embraced it. And we have our little Neanderthal group here. Mm-hmm. Neanderthal side quests. And
I think you should make merch that has Team Neanderthal on it.
Maybe we should, because we do have
a store. All she's got to do.
I just have to fill it.
All she's got to do is fill it with a bunch of products. So
yeah.
I think that's fun.
So. I would buy that.
I would buy
Perhaps
that too.
Perhaps soon we will get that. So.
So, yeah. I think with that, are we going to wrap this up?
Say so.
Mm-hmm. Hang tight, though, because you will probably be hearing a lot of Michelle and Katie in future podcasts.
Oh, yay!
So. Yeah. As there's already one in the works where we did a fun scavenger hunt.
We call that a Neanderthal side quest.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys again for joining us, and thank you guys have earned a spot to come back.
Yay!
So
yes.
Well, thank you again for having us. This was fun.
This was fun.
Very fun.
It was an amazing time. A lot of information.
I think we started out kind of nervous because this, I think, is both of our first time.
Yeah, I know you guys said you were nervous, but it didn't show.
No, it didn't show. And you'd be surprised, but it rarely does show when people are nervous about something. Mm-hmm. You don't see it on the outside.
Yeah.
You only feel it on the inside. So.
Yeah, this is fun.
So.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners.
Well, all I can say is the only thing that could have made it better is if Snoop Dogg said it instead of us.
The Snoop Dogg thing was just really out of the ballpark. That was the tangent that was like, where did that come from? But
yeah, well, you know what? If you have ADHD... maybe you'd understand. You could connect the lines a little bit better. So
I want to kick this off because I felt like this episode kicked out and Michelle brought up one of the most interesting points of the whole episode. And that is when she talks about the whole dopamine thing and how this trait that the more Neanderthals people have has a variation on it that doesn't what was the term she used? Like monitor or
regulate.
I think she used the word regulate.
That's the perfect word.
Regulate
yes.
your dopamine level. And
yes,
because
we kind
of
seek out the dopamine. It's just like, oh, hey, I need more dopamine now. I need it. So it's like, oh, add to cart or whatever you do to get your dopamine levels up.
Right. So basically, because of not having this regulation, you're not getting enough dopamine. You right. as a person try to generate more dopamine to lift your spirits up. And
right.
that leads to, well, first of all, you have lower dopamine that leads to depression, theoretically, unless you can keep your dopamine
right.
levels up. And then on top of that, it just adds to all these unusual personality traits that we have. And some of these personality
right.
traits are what are a big, huge driver of us saying, hey, you have ADHD, hey, mm-hmm. you have this, you have that.
Or addiction, because again, that's where you need to keep getting your dopamine up. Like, oh, wait, I need to get my dopamine up. Let me smoke a cigarette or let me do this or whatever.
And it's just so interesting to me. And it kind of demonstrates this little example that she gives in this episode demonstrates the whole yin and yang theory of mm-hmm. it is how, you know, some of these traits that you get from having that lower dopamine level actually help you. I mean, some
right.
people might equate some of those things to being some of their strongest personality traits. On the flip side, there are other people that will say that some of those traits that they get from having that not regulating mm-hmm. dopamine are some of the things that make that they struggle with the most. So you can see it from both sides where there's
right.
a yin and a yang. You're gaining something and you're giving something up. And I don't know if we've really talked about this on this podcast, but it's something I thoroughly believe. I'm not a scientist, so I can't really back this up
right.
with any scientific evidence. But I believe that with everything good you have, it creates a bad thing.
Right.
You know, it's almost like the stick is only so long, and when you shift it one way, aggressively one direction, you're hurting the other side of it.
Right.
You know, and I think that's kind of how our personalities work.
Yeah.
And I think that she just did a really great job in this episode of encapsulating how something as simple as dopamine, and not even dopamine itself, but the regulation of dopamine
yes.
can cause so many different variables to happen within our minds, our bodies, and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. So I found that really, really interesting.
Yeah, I just think that the fact that these two came together, the Neanderthal and the Homo sapiens, I think that it was really a great match because you did have the Homo sapiens who were kind of just regulated in general. I don't want to say that they were boring, but they had their shit together. They were very organized. They were everything. They were good. And they needed to help the Neanderthal and be like, hey, you guys are really creative. You guys are pretty cool, but you guys need to get organized.
Mm-hmm.
The Neanderthal were like, we're creative, but you guys need to help us a little bit. And you guys need a little bit more color in your life. So they were very yin and yang together. And I think that was just a really cool match made in heaven. And I think in this episode, we kind of learned a little bit more of how that kind of came together too. So I think that was kind of a really cool thing.
And, you know, when you look at just these traits, genes, whatever, that we have in us and mm-hmm. how they affect just us, it kind of makes you wonder, like, because when it's all said and done, we all still have a very, very small amount of Neanderthal gene
Absolutely,
within
right.
us. So I have to believe, like, while that balance between the two is a positive thing for our society,
right?
You do have to ask your question, the question of if Neanderthals were still on Earth today,
mm-hmm.
how much different would society be? Because
yeah.
I feel like, when you look at the positives that 1-4%
mm-hmm.
Neanderthal contributes to
yeah.
society as a whole, you know, helps people be more creative. And not to say that Homo sapiens without the Neanderthal
right.
gene can't be, you know,
it's just
creative.
Nice to have that
it's
extra
just,
push.
But this is something that helps with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder, like, if there were still people that had 50%.
Yeah, like a full-fledged.
Or even full-fledged
yeah.
Neanderthal, or even just, like, a much higher percentage,
right.
you know, like what would those people
yeah.
do
It really makes you think. Yeah, would it be too much, or would it be just the right bit? Yeah, it is a really, really interesting thought process to think about.
So, I mean, that's what I gotta say about this episode. I thought it was extremely interesting. I mean, this is a never ending quest. There are so many rabbit holes you could go down. Oh my goodness! In this. Yes. We only scratched the surface.
There's gonna be more to learn throughout the years. We're gonna find out more and more and more about this gene. There's gonna be more. There's probably going to be more in our lineage that we're going to find out, I would imagine. Because remember how I believe it was in the last episode that we found out about the different people in our lineage that we didn't even learn about in school. So I imagine down the line, we're going to find out even more and more. But I think that they're so cool. And again, if you want to be a part of all of this, get your DNA tested. 23andMe, I think, is a really great place to do it because you can get all of this information about the Neanderthal gene. And again, at the end, we were kind of talking about how you can find out about all of the little different nuances about one of them got, you can find out like, oh, do I get hangry if I get hungry? Or just little things, certain things that'll tell you about like, oh, itchy or mosquito bites and little fun things like that even. And I just think it's kind of fun to do these little science experiments. Even if you weren't necessarily into science, it's kind of fun to do these things as you get older.
It just gives you a brighter understanding of
who you are or how things work.
Right. And what I think the number one, even if you're like, I don't understand why anybody cares about the Neanderthal gene. I mean, that's fine, but just think about what you just heard about the Neanderthal gene and all the different ways that it can affect a person, and then realize that there's literally, I'm not going to fathom a guess at how many genes we have in our body, but it's a lot. And each one of those probably does exactly what the Neanderthal, not exactly, but...
Right, pieces it, of it.
It contributes like to different aspects of us.
That we have no idea yet.
And just think about what kind of rabbit hole you could go down to learn.
Yeah.
Just how the human brain is put together and how the different reactions, what they're caused by and stuff like that. It's just a very, very fascinating topic.
This is just the one that we got obsessed with. So just think about all the little things that you can, that you could do. Just imagine. So yeah, I think it's just amazing when you think about the little facets that are in our body, that are in our life. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. And again, we really want to thank Katie and Michelle for being on our show because I think that they did an amazing job with their research, with their presentation of all their information that they came up with, that they were able to get. I mean, they're just amazing with everything that they do.
Yeah, and we will probably be joined by them at least one more time on this podcast. Yes. So, and hopefully by that point in time, I'll have corrected the mic issue.
Yes, hopefully.
Because my mic isn't bad, but yeah, we need to get a full setup.
So,
but then as soon as I get it set up for four people, then we're going to want to have five people on, and you know, it's just a never ending battle. These podcast studios, I tell you, they're so much work.
I know. But with that, we will we'll be back in two more weeks for you guys with something else.
You got anything else or should we wrap it up?
I don't think I have anything else. We should probably let these people go before they get bored of us, Eric.
Yes. We're rambling at this point, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
So, all right. Well, we will see everybody on the next episode, whether it be a journal, an episode, a Navy story, or whatever else might be around the corner.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you.